Fan Morning Show. Sports at 590 The Fan. I'm Blake Murphy. She almost has her mic ready to go.
Hey, we're set up now.
Taylor Schwarpar.
Good morning.
JD's got his headphones on.
It's a scramble.
Yeah.
It's a scramble.
Yeah, that 6 o'clock hour sneaks up on you.
Yeah. We were just having so much fun.
We were.
It's the cold. It's the cold.
You're a little shivery this morning.
It's just the cold. It's just dark.
It's dark.
Look out there. It's like Game of Thrones level dark. Well, they're like, you know, they send... That's still one of the things that bothered me the most about Game of Thrones. I don't care if you haven't seen it. When it's like the big final battle and they got all the horse riders.
Oh, yeah, you can't see anything.
And they're like, all our important horse riders, go in the darkness. Just go off. Oh, they
just
all got wiped out.
Stab wherever, in any direction. You'll
Oopsies.
Hit someone.
There was this always this really funny thing about Jon Snow being the worst... I want to say dictator. That was wrong. But the worst army leader, like the worst army captain in the history of any fictional television show. You think about all his battles, it's just like getting smoked. Poor strategy all around.
Would you care that much about your strategy if you could come back to life, though?
I guess not.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Screw the team.
Yeah.
I got infinite lives.
Yeah, I'm about my own stats.
Yeah.
So
Game of Thrones ended years ago.
Yeah, it did. No, I was trying to think about get your own stats. Stats, Gossman versus Ray. The first stats are on the board in the Gossman versus Ray. I don't know. I guess they'll always be linked together here anyways.
They certainly will be. And the fact that on the surface those two deals are very similar in terms and total money, they're not all... There are a couple factors separating them.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Jays signed Kevin Gossman to a five-year reported $110 million deal. And then the next day, their guy... The reigning American League Cy Young winner signs for 5-115 with the Seattle Mariners, opt out after the third year for Ray.
So I think it's fair to say everybody on this show is pretty surprised. Not shocked. Oh, my God, what a world of difference. Half the price of Robbie Ray. No, but Gossman to me was a signing that, hey, you were getting those picks. You were getting someone who the Blue Jays clearly coveted more than Robbie Ray. I didn't think that it was going to be Robbie Ray completely priced himself out of the Blue Jays. I always anticipated that we were going to have a talk like the one we're going to have today. But seeing Robbie Ray come in at only $5 million more total on a deal where he can opt out after 3 years. And Blake, I texted this to the group last night, but if Robbie Ray opts out after 3 years, that's a win for the Seattle Mariners. They're thrilled with that. That means they got three elite seasons from Robbie Ray at a totally reasonable price for a Cy Young Award winner, and they have the flexibility to make a decision moving forward as to whether or not they're going to re-up him to what I could only imagine is an extra year or two, right?
Right. With the counter to that being, basically, you only have Ray on a five-year deal if he declines.
See, that's how I took it. I was like, that's such a win because if he gets better, yeah. Well, also if he gets even better, he can go get that bag king somewhere else.
Sorry, I don't mean that it wouldn't be a win for Ray. I'm just saying that I don't view a contract for a pitcher like that as he's definitely going to opt out.
But like, what's the age that we kept talking about where you start to see a notable decline?
34.
34. So that's right. I get what you're saying is if Ray opts out of the two worst years of his deal, my reading of it was like, oh geez, like if those 2 years project as bad, they could be really bad.
Did you say geez though when you
yeah I said
when
geez
you, when you
oh,
saw
geez.
It where you were like, oh geez,
yeah,
geez, Louise,
geez Willikers.
He said, oh geez, it's gonna be a wild one.
Well, my mom listens, I'm not gonna be out here swearing,
yeah, cussing,
not gonna
like
be
English.
using swear words.
So I thought that it was going to be an extra year at least. I thought it was going to be a couple more mil a year at least. And it didn't turn out to be that way. And this is where I'm at with it today. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I've done enough research on Gossman now that I know everything there is to know about Kevin Gossman. I know everything there is to know from Baseball Savant about his splitter, the way that he pitches. We are on his catcher who has... caught him more than anyone else. We've done the notes now. We've done the due diligence on this guy. Seems good. Seems like a really nice, splashy signing. So I'm down with it. Here's the only thing, though. This one is actually the much riskier signing for the Toronto Blue Jays front office. Like, when they went out and got Hyunjin Ryu, Hyunjin Ryu obviously had years in the deal that weren't going to be good ones, right? I think we all sort of accepted that Ryu's final two seasons were going to be a bit of a ride. And that's what was kind of disappointing about last year when he started to struggle. You went, man, not yet. Not now, dude. Not yet. But there was nobody that they were trying to spend that money on. It wasn't a decision about Ryu and somebody else. This is the first major decision when it comes to building around Vladdy and Bo. Sure, you make decisions in the trade market. They went out and got Jose Berríos. But who was the pitcher that you were supposed to be acquiring at the deadline last year? Nobody other than Berríos. He made by far the most sense. He had control. He fit the timeline. He had the stuff. He hadn't had a dip in any of his actual spin rates or velocity throughout the sticky stuff. It was a pretty safe play. And they gave up some prospects that, while people here loved them, turned out to not be as coveted around baseball as we would have thought they were the year before. This is the first one where we are going to be looking at it through the lens of what is someone else doing. So even if Kevin Gausman is good, even if he is living up to this contract, if Robbie Ray is better and he holds up better for the next three seasons, people are going to be pissed. People are going to wonder why you let someone go who was a Cy Young winner in your city at the same price. So they better really love Gausman, because we're all today going, hey, benefit of the doubt. But 2 months into the season, if Kevin Gausman's having the... I always think about Drew Pomeranz for the Red Sox, because they went out and got him, they signed him, and he was just one of those dudes that was shaky out of the gate for Boston, and he could never find his level. If he has one of those starts, I just think he's going to be crystallized amongst Blue Jays fans. And Robbie Ray, obviously, conversely, has a good one. That Blue Jays fans are just... it's going to be hard to embrace this guy.
So if you are looking at the way the narrative could go here... The Robbie Ray going from the Rogers Center in the AL East to T-Mobile Park, which is one of the most pitcher-friendly parks in all of baseball. Like, short of Oakland and where Gausman's coming from, Oracle Park, it's maybe the most pitcher-friendly in baseball. And Gausman's going the other way. So I think Seattle's a tremendous landing spot for Robbie Ray, for a guy who has that strikeout profile, who has cut his walks down, but who is prone to the home run. I think Seattle's a really great fit for him. The challenge with Gausman coming the other way on that spectrum is going to be, can you still work that fastball up in the zone? And, you know, San Fran was the first time in his career his home run per nine was under one. You can survive with that when you have a good strikeout profile and a good walk profile, and you know, you're not giving away those extra base runners, but there's a challenge there. So I think, yeah, there's... optically, there's a real chance that Ray's better than Gausman this year over the first 2 to 3 years of the deal, because the way we laid it out, teeing all this stuff up, is that they're really close anyway. And it's maybe, you know, depending on how you feel, again, about to yesterday's discussion about how a fastball slider guy who's pretty velocity reliant is going to age versus how a fastball splitter guy who's more deception and tunneling is going to age. Maybe the Gausman bump comes year 3, 4, 5.
Do you want them thinking that way, though?
I don't. But I'm trying to lay this out. So, obviously, from a fan perspective, and I want to spend a minute in a bit going into what the actual difference is here for the Jays, because it's more than just $5 million, the difference here. But from a fan perspective, and even maybe from a dugout perspective, all else equal, you go with your guy, usually, right?
Yeah, like someone that's had success in your organization, knows the team, obviously was well-loved, has the whole pants thing. It's nice to hold on to something that you know works here. So that, as a fan, with the comparables, at first glance, like, I wanted Blake to do our homework a bit to explain to us what the big difference is other than the $5 million, because it's easy to look at the numbers and be like, well, why would they let Robbie Ray go if it's $5 million more? Like, he's your guy. Obviously, there's a little bit more at factor. And by the way, it's text line Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
So fire in your text. Let us know how you feel about Robbie Ray leaving. If you're happy about the deal on the other side for the Blue Jays, just keep the text coming all day.
There's a reason why the saying isn't mess with success, right? Like, it's leave good enough alone. And so to have both those guys on the same deal, that's a tough one to me. I will say this. I don't really love the explanations – here's the explanation I want, and here's the only one I want. This is the Gausman framing. Hey, we actually think that his splitter is the best pitch in baseball. We actually think that he is going to be more sustainable when it comes to not walking hitters. It's something that he's done his entire career, and Ray has not, and we're worried about some type of regression there. What we feel like with Gausman is that when he gets to work with Pete Walker, when he gets to work with our staff, there's actually a little bit of extra that we want to add to him. The reason that we've been in on him is not only do we believe in what he can do right now, but there's actually even a little bit more. What I don't want to hear is, well, you get these picks in a baseball draft that someday could be trade pieces for things that you could try to use down the years of control. Like, that feels like back to the Ross Atkins that was getting hammered at the deadline a couple of years ago, who wanted to hang the banners for all the years of control they added. The other part I don't want to hear is the back end of the deal, because here's what I know. The Jays are good right now. The Jays have a very good team that they need to capitalize on today. And I know Gausman is good, so I'm not upset. This is, do not misinterpret this as someone being upset. But if Robbie Ray is better for the first 3 years, I'm sorry, they care infinitely more than the final 2 years. Because I love when sports fans do this, and I'm guilty of it as well. But sometimes we project into these futures like they're a little bit more...
certain?
Yeah, that they're a little bit more definite. It's like, you know, who knows how long any of us are going to live? Who knows what's going to happen? I want to see the good team now. I want to see your best product in the next 3 seasons, because I think these next three, when you have some cost certainty with some of these players, are of incredible import. So Gausman versus Ray to me is not so much about years 4 and 5 or the draft pick compensation. It's about who's going to be better over the next 3 seasons of the deal, because that is ultimately what I care about. And I'm really hoping that the Jays have made the correct bet.
Now, what if they came out today and Vlad and Bo were locked up to 5+ year extensions?
The thing is I'm already assuming that those two guys are
locked up.
Yeah,
I'm not worried that they're going somewhere else.
Like,
I hope
so
not.
So does that not, like,
no.
Springer, Gausman, Berríos, Vlad, Bo, those guys are there through 2026.
No, because in a perfect world, I think that you don't have Gausman for year 5. I think year 5 is a season where he wants it and Ray wants it. Those are security. Those are pillow seasons at the end of a contract. So I just, sure, am I happy that Kevin Gausman is locked up? Yes. Again, like, this isn't a shifting the goalposts thing. This is just simply, to me, we know the Jays are good right now. They have George Springer on their team. Do I think George Springer in 4 seasons is going to be George Springer? I don't think so. Do I think in 4 seasons from now that there's going to be a lot of other money off the books and other opportunities to grab starting pitchers? Yeah, I'd rather live in that reality with those kind of budgets rather than say, oh, well, Kevin Gausman 4 years from now, 5 years from now. Like, again, that's a part of being a general manager, and I respect it. I'm not saying that that's not or that any of this is irrelevant. I'm not saying that years 4 and 5 are meaningless or that the way that they age is not a factor at all, or the draft picks are nothing. I'm just saying, to me, what I'm going to be caring about more is what I'm going to be seeing in the immediate future, and that's whether or not these two guys head-to-head, if one of them is better than the other. I don't care if Kevin Gausman in year 4 has an ERA, you know, a full point lower than Robbie Ray. It's like, not if Robbie Ray was staying as a Cy Young winner for the first 3 seasons, and I think that he could have been the difference maker in a World Series or not.
Already getting some texts.
Oh, yeah?
The folks are fired up on Text Line Tuesday. Okay, so the Blue Jays saw what we saw in Ray last start. Ran out of gas against New York. Kevin actually had a few more quality starts. Kevin in Orangeville.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Kevin in Orangeville.
Okay, Kevin in Orangeville. All I have to say to that, and I read Arden's piece yesterday.
Is this Kevin Gausman texting it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I read Arden's piece yesterday, and Blake, maybe you have more insight on this, too. But at the end of the season, Gausman's velocity and spin rate, they got back to sort of what he's normally supposed to be at. But when the sticky stuff, when all that stuff broke down, Gausman's spin rate and velocity did take a dip. Also, this is kind of the important note, and this was the scariest stat. Are you ready? Like, this is one of those, hey, trigger warnings for everybody that loves Kevin Gausman. Do you know what his ERA was in the second half of the season last year?
Not as good as it was in the first half.
It sure wasn't. You want to take a guess?
No.
Do you?
4.5?
Yeah. It was 4.5.
It's not even a guess when it comes to Blake. He knows.
No, I don't. But I know, I remember him having a shaky September until he had 2 really good starts right at the end of the regular season.
And so those two starts at the end are the two that you kind of look at and say, hey, everything started to go back to normal here. But the entire baseball is a sample size sport, baby. And if we're doing sample size, if you, all I'm saying is you can't play the Robbie Ray wore down in September card without mentioning that the Kevin Gausman, his numbers actually were nothing. If Kevin Gausman would have held up his first half of the season, the guy's winning a Cy Young. Instead, he finished sixth. And the reason he finished sixth is because his second half numbers were crap. Not crap, but not gets paid $110 million. If he has that as a full season, he ain't getting $110 million.
Right. So I know that you kind of said you don't want to hear the explanations.
No, no, I do. I'm saying that, like, it's not as important. Like, right. I'm not a board member.
I want to lay them out for the listeners who maybe haven't. So, to me, there are, and again, I think there is legitimately a Gausman versus Ray debate that we teed up yesterday. And
can I just say that I care when you tell me? I don't care when my friends tell me, when they go, they get the two comp picks. Like,
so you guys aren't friends, I guess.
No, when I say, when I say I don't care, it's like, except for Krusty, you know, like it's tries to compare it to Krusty. So yeah, break it down for me because I want to know if there is something that I'm missing here. Yeah,
why don't you explain this to me like I'm five?
Yeah.
So
yes, our first office drop. Thank you.
I do think there is an element of like, and I dug in more last night and I was trying to find some comps, but there's just like we talked about it when Robbie Ray won the Cy Young. There's not a lot of two pitch dominant guys to pitch at this level to find comparables for, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, to try to find someone, hey, who might Robbie Ray and Kevin Gausman age like? There's just not a lot of examples of guys like that. So I do think there is an element of the guy who relies less on velocity and has a little more straight deception. I do think maybe there's an element of betting on that to age better.
I'm in on that.
So, and not even age better, of just like you said, if Ray's walks go the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, he's insulated from that a little bit more in Seattle. So, like, over the next year or two, as we compare these two guys, we're going to have to factor that in a little bit.
I'll tell you this right now, though, Blake. No, ain't nobody going to hear about park factors if Robbie Ray is leading the league in strikeouts again.
You don't need the stats. Yeah. All you need to know is Rogers Center, hitter friendly, Seattle, pitcher friendly.
Yeah.
So, if they're a quarter of a point of ERA apart, I think people can be like, well, that's more or less even. A quarter kind of a point of ERA?
Yeah, all right, I'll give it to you. All right. Okay. I'll give it to you. I'm just saying I'm not coming on here and doing that.
So, Kevin Gausman gets 5 years, $110 million. Robbie Ray gets 5 years, $115 million. Mm-hmm. To me, there are three factors that separate these deals, other than just your evaluation of the player. First one is obviously the $5 million. Not a lot of money over 5 years. $1 million a year, if that ends up pinching the books at something like
they just gave Yimi Garcia, a guy never heard of, that money. So
Yimi.
So that's not
Danielle is so mad I never heard of Yimi Garcia. He's looked up at me as a guy who watches MLB Network like every day of his life. He's just like,
boy.
You know who that is? The guy who projects to have a 0.2 WAR next season?
Yeah. The guy who they're going to drop one pitch from his pitch mix so he can rely more heavily fastball slider and just stop being a five-pitch reliever and just throw your best stuff. So the $5 million one, but it's a small one. Mm-hmm. The second one is the opt-out, which, again, over the 3 years, which is your competitive window, so you care less about this, but that insulates a little bit from, not insulates from the downside because you have Gausman for years 4 and 5 no matter what, but it leaves a little bit of extra room. It's just a little more team-side certainty. And in the past, people have tried to attempt to value what an opt-out is worth in a contract. And on a contract this size, it would be about, you know, it has like an implied value of about $12 million. Like once, and how they do that is like, once we get all the contracts in and we can compare, you know, a Gausman and a Ray and a Gray and everyone else, the value of an opt-out is low eight figures. So 10, 12 million kind of thing. So that's number two. Number three is the comp pick, which is a real thing, but I'm going somewhere better with this. So the compensation pick will be in the 60s or 70s. It has an implied value of about $3.8 million the last time Fangraphs did a study on it. You're looking at a bonus slot of almost $1 million. And they're going to get two. The only one of them is relevant to the Ray discussion, but they're going to get one for Semien as well.
Yeah, I know. I don't like framing it that way, though, where it's like, oh, they're getting two comp picks.
Because it's a separate thing.
Yeah, and it's been framed that way like the entire time, and I keep looking at it going, why are they getting two comp picks for Ray? And it's like, no, but also Semien. I'm like, stop writing
different
it that
thing.
Way. Yeah.
Ray Gossman is one decision. Yeah. Semien's another decision.
They get a comp pick.
Right. So $5 million, no opt-out, and a comp pick.
Yeah.
The reason I think the comp pick matters is when you look at other areas that there may still be to add and ways to fortify the roster from here, this is a front office that has heavily prioritized depth of farm system. Yeah. When the Jays rank near the top in farm system rankings, it's a lot to do with how many guys they have that project to be like maybe major league relevant. Not necessarily, like obviously Gabby Moreno is very high on prospect list, but it's more about the beyond him, it's more about the depth of the system. If they are going to trade from their prospect pipeline again, like they did for Berríos, I think they're more comfortable with that if they know they have comp picks coming in to kind of refresh the pipeline. And I know those comp picks may never be anything, and they may be 5-6 years away from contributing if they hit, but macro in terms of what asset base do I have, what do I have to trade from, replenishing those things does free you up a little bit to trade, especially from the lower minors. So if you're trading guys who are in A, high A, the guys who are a little further away anyway, I think that's a factor for them. So I think this pushes them, like that. This Ray Gossman decision suggests to me they're a little more open to dealing from the prospect stockpile.
How significant do you think the opt-out factor of this was? And I did a little bit of research, and the Jays don't give that out often. Like, that isn't a thing that they usually lean into. Is that something that maybe it was like the defining factor letting him go?
On Ray's side, I think it's a huge factor. Mm-hmm. For the Jays, I mean, it's a differentiator between him and Gossman. I think they don't give those out because they're a risk-averse front office. As far as like, hey, we're now spending and having to give out this kind of term, but we're giving you term and that's the risk we're taking. They don't want to add layers onto that. But I think it's one of those things that it's very valuable to the player.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, a hair splitter on the team side.
So I think that's a good way of breaking it down. And if you were at the board meeting, I'd be like, good job. Thank you for that. But I stand by what I said. I don't care about.
Yeah,
I don't care about a comp pick.
My goal is not to sell you on the move.
No.
My goal is to try to explain to you what the front office is probably thinking.
But again, this isn't an I don't care in terms of having the information.
No, I know.
I'm sitting here saying, I don't care if I'm being told right now by Ross Atkins, like he goes, hey, we viewed them as very close, but we also got this comp pick and we value it at that. I'm like, right. What?
No, he better come out and say, we like Kevin Gossman.
That's it.
That's it, period.
That's all. My entire argument here is just simply that all the stuff that is around the peripherals that has been kind of pushed out there in terms of this is why the contract might be better than the just $15 million is that there's a comp pick attached and this is the value of the opt-out clause. Is like, I just want to go to Rogers Center and watch them win a World Series. Like, I just want to watch them go win baseball games. They're in win right now, and the money is not that different, and the draft pick is not that consequential. We're not talking about, like, an unprotected future pick that you're receiving from a crap, like the Detroit
Pistons.
You're
not talking about that 2024 Lakers pick that's out there
right,
kicking around.
That's what I'm saying here is this isn't something that I'm looking at. Okay, so I'm just bringing this up because it's out there. Let me just tell you about the second round picks because that's what this projects out to be, right?
You'd get the competitive balance pick after the second round.
Okay. 2020. I think his name's CJ Van Eyck, right? I'm not even positive, but Van Eyck.
Yeah.
Right-handed pitcher, 42. I think it was CJ. I don't think that he has a ton of value right now as of that. And again, I could be wrong on these things, but I pay close enough attention that I've heard the names that have been kicked around, and maybe he gets thrown in a deal, but that's hardly like a figure piece in a deal. 2019, Robertson, they took out of Crichton. He was a second-round pick. I'm looking at his name. I've never seen W. Robertson on any of the Blue Jays' prospects rankings. I've never seen anything like that, basically anywhere.
Well, it
61st. Hold on.
Go ahead.
2017, Hagen Danner. Do we have Hagen Danner?
He's on the 40-man now.
Okay, Hagen Danner. Come on down. Let's find out who you are.
Haagen-Dazs, Hagen Danner.
Those are the last three second-round picks that this organization has made. And I'm not saying this to be like there's no value in these picks. I'm just saying the idea that this is some kind of like a prospect replenishing move to make other trades, I find that a little flimsy.
Well,
I do.
I just don't. I think it's a timeline thing, right? And again, it's a depth of system thing, not a what are you trading now. And I think, again, I'm trying to explain what their thinking probably is. And it's not. Yeah. It's nothing that should, like, they're not selling Hagen Danner and CJ Van Eyck jerseys this year, you know? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
they will.
I'd get one of those.
Maybe Hagen Danner breaks through and we've got another catcher on the way.
So I'm here for buying into the belief that Gausman is the better guy over the next three seasons. Yeah, that he's the better guy over the next five, obviously. Like, the last 2 years actually do matter. I'm just saying that in the immediate future, the next 3 years, especially with Robbie Ray's opt-out, considering that, hey, maybe this is the actual contract the Blue Jays need to give him, was that opt-out. So you have to kind of look at it through the first 3 years, especially. I also, like, that's what I care about by far the most. I also am a little curious as to, and I want to ask Morosi this later, whether he has any inclinations as to if Ray would have taken less than the $115 million to be a Blue Jay. Mm-hmm. Like, because we know Gausman took less to be here. The Mets offered Gausman more, mm-hmm. according to Andy Martino. So are we going to see a report eventually that Robbie Ray was more interested in staying a Toronto Blue Jay? Or it could be the opposite. Like, I haven't seen anything to suggest that he was willing to take less here. There's also the possibility that Robbie Ray, who's American and had a great season here, maybe likes Toronto, like two things can be true, but he would rather live in the States. And if he prioritized living in a city like Seattle, and maybe he took less to go there, even though Toronto on paper looks like the more competitive team. So that's an important question in this. But here's the one that I want to ask you guys that we can't quantify at all. Do you think that there's something just bad karmaically, though, about having two guys that are this close, that have so many similarities where it's two, Blake said it, there's not a lot of projecting out in the future on two pitch guys like this, and both of them are that. And so let's split hairs, pun on these two, that you're walking away from the guy that you know that you kind of rejuvenated and became, yeah, somewhat of a fan favorite, was the horse of a season for you, where you really did think that you were going to get in the playoffs, where you did come back to Toronto, and this was the guy that you wanted on the bump. Karmaically, where do we stand with this?
Oh, I believe in karma. I think you just stirred it up. Yeah. We're going to need to get some crystals, and we're going to need to sage this room because you just made it a thing.
We got to sage the whole city then. We got to go down to the Rogers Center and sage the ballpark. Now's the time.
We might put some, you know, little tarot cards under the seats.
Tarot cards good for karma?
I don't know. Blake, you might know more about tarot cards.
I actually do think that you might know this.
Yeah. I mean, they're not, tarot cards are supposed to be informative.
Predictive.
Like if you flip one over and it's you flying into some power lines, mm-hmm. you should be worried about that.
Oh, God.
But I don't think it's, I don't think they're fixing anything.
Crystals, however, they could do something.
I don't know much about crystals.
Yeah, I don't know either.
On the sage side, I know our indigenous friends would tell you there are some medicinal properties there, but I can't speak to that. Karma, however, I think all else equal, you stay with your guy, and I think there's a fan base element, there's a dugout element or a locker room element, but we'll see. I mean, Kevin Gausman is apparently a good guy too, so maybe it works out. I mean, not maybe it works out. Like, this is the thing, is they're both very good pitchers.
It's going to work out.
It might be one of those things where Ray's just fine and Gossman's just fine, and it's just a bar discussion from here.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Guess what we do for a living?
Yeah. By the way, Hagen Danner, I didn't know until right now, converted from a catching prospect to a pitcher, and he's now throwing 97.
Okay. Phil from Bradford literally just texted in. Phil from Bradford, I believe Hagen Danner, Hagen Danner, Haagen-Dazs, has converted to a pitcher and he throws 100. So
95, 97.
Well, you know what, Phil from Bradford, I like the little boost there.
Yeah, I like that boost too. That's the kind of boost I need today. This is not a shot at Hagen Danner. God, this is the worst.
I know.
Simply to say that they did not go out and acquire some type of a draft pick that tomorrow they're going to be able to flip in a Jose Ramirez trade. Okay,
who are you to doubt Hagen Danner?
Yes, that's it. It's like Hagen Danner, 4 years later, isn't even the same position that he was drafted at, for God's sakes. He's getting even better.
That's what you want.
He's getting even better at a completely different thing. This is like, and the next tweet's going to be, or the next text is going to be someone like, did you know Hagen Danner is actually going back to school and he's going to become a physicist?
He's also vegan and his body is a temple.
How dare you write off Hagen
Danner? His body fat percentage is 2.
Here are the underlying stats in CJ Van Eyck having an ERA of 6 in rookie ball.
This is going to be one of those things that gets pushed out as JD. If Robbie Ray has a poor season and Gausman has a good one, they're going to go, JD, you said. I'm like, no, this is not the point. The point of this take is not about who is and what isn't.
I know. It's simply as a fan, about you don't want to hear it right now.
This, no, it's not even that. It's I like the take is just simply this, is that this is the riskiest signing that they've made so far. And Jose Barrios was not riskier. George Springer, even despite his age and like the concerns about the outfield stuff, was not riskier. Those were luxury signings. This was your first decision. This is the first one where we get to actually point to what could have been. And the what could have been is risky as well, because you let a Cy Young winner walk. And so this is what the gambit is. This is in terms of like getting fans to buy in on this front office, which has really happened, right? The wrestling term we love to use is they're over. Mm-hmm. Now, when you hear people do the Shatkins thing, you go, ugh, like, all right, fine. I mean, whatever, man. It just, if this is where you're at still, then I don't really know what we're supposed to talk about here, because you're just already so deeply embedded into a camp that it's your identity. If Robbie Ray is amazing and Gausman is less than that, if you can't even, I mean, I think you'll probably be able to compare the two. Yeah. But if one guy is clearly better and it's the guy that you let walk and he stays in the American League, and when you're going down to Seattle in that fun Blue Jays trip, everybody's all partying. Oh, we're back in Seattle. We got those 48-hour vax passes or whatever. You don't have to do the stupid $400 PCR test. And you go and Robbie Ray shuts down the Blue Jays and you got to limp back over the border and go, boy, how much are those hotel rooms? That's going to suck.
That's a team, by the way, that was, I mean, metrics-wise, they were much worse, but only a game behind the Jays last year. So they were right in the playoff mix as well. You are giggling. Just go ahead.
I got a great text. Hagen Danner once nursed an injured flamingo back to full health.
I heard that too.
But
Daryl and Sudbury, like, that name sounds familiar. And then that's why.
Daryl and Sudbury says, put some respect on Hagen Danner. Although some may not know who he is, they will soon. Drafted as a catcher.
Oh, my God.
But he will hit like Luke Malley.
Just some of you.
Just like, recently hitting 100 in instructs, and it's not Malley, is it?
There's just no getting through to some of you. Like, it's just like, it's the Friday of the Concords. Sometimes I think you hear what you want to hear. Like, that's all that is. Okay, sure.
Yeah. To me,
tag Hagen Danner and dragging him.
If you touch 100 in instructional, I need to see that radar reading in a game, not see it.
Once I also hit 100 at the Jays pop-up.
I bet.
The kitty throwing thing, you know, where you throw at the...
Mm-hmm. Ben Nicholson-Smith actually threw, I think, 79.
Yeah, but look at how lanky he is in that. That's a lot of arm.
No warm-up.
Those things are real.
Took his suit jacket off.
Messed up.
Fired 79 in there.
Well, you know what the nice thing is here, though?
Hot.
Is we get that in kilometers, so... He gets that little 60%.
No, I think it wasn't. Know, it was definitely miles per hour. No, but I'm just saying, that's an athletic accomplishment.
If I had
79 on the gun at that Blue Jays game and you said kilometers, I'd be bitter about it all night.
I used to run that machine at the Blue Jays games.
What?
Yeah, I used to work there.
You ran the machine?
Well, sometimes for like Junior Jays Sunday, you'd run, you get that.
You've had so many different jobs.
Yeah, I worked there and I would like help with the kid, like run the bases and all that. But I worked the little gun sometimes, and a kid would come up and he would throw, it would be like 96. And his parents were like, oh my God, like, is there a scout out here? And I'm like, unfortunately, like, this is like a faulty machine from like Giant Tiger. And they're like, no, no, no. Like, my son just threw 96. Like, is there an award? Yeah. Can we talk to, you know, a scout? Is Ross Atkins in the building?
Can you come down?
I saw that documentary, Rookie of the Year, where the kid in elementary school pitched for the Cubs.
Good times.
And the bad guy from Home Alone was his pitching coach.
I'm excited about Kevin Gossman. Yes. But I'm a little torn.
I had another point somewhere, but we got off of it with the Flamingo thing.
No.
Let's take a break.
I lost it.
Let's take a break. Let's reset. We're going to do plenty of Blue Jays today. Again, text line Tuesday, so keep them coming. 590-590. You can also hit us up on Instagram, at JD Bunkus. I always read my DMs, unless they're haters, and I just see a second and I delete them. At Ailish Forfar. Hers are just all for chips. You know, if you want to talk food, that's where you go. And then you Blake Murphy.
Yeah. So we got John Morosi a little later, and David Sampson.
We got a fun day.
We got John Morosi.
Blair and Barker are back from 10 to noon
those guys.
Today because the Jay stuff's hot.
We're giving away Leafs tickets.
We are. More Leafs tickets?
We're flush with Leafs tickets. They're coming out of our pockets.
Honestly, this is kind of, we're now at the point where we're giving out so many Leafs tickets that it's a little offensive to me. I'm like, where's ours?
I would love a set.
You know, like hi. Okay, that's cool that, do I really care about the listeners that can't even understand my Hagen Danner point? Like, no. Like, give me those tickets. Anyways, let's take a break. Let's do the A-list. And I need to tell you guys how much I hate the Seahawks. This is just growing even so much more.
What else is new?
I need to get a couple of things just off my chest real quick. It's the Fan Morning Show. Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy, JD Bunkus, Sportsnet 59 of the Fan.
Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show. I requested the song specifically because on my walk here, might have saw about 15 to 20 fire trucks headed somewhere on the east side of Toronto.
I thought you were trying to get me back in my university club.
No.
Days,
Stay safe out there. I don't know where they were going at 5 a.m., but there's a fire somewhere.
You know, it could have just been, here's what you hope, is that.
Someone made toast.
No, I used to live in one of those towers right around here, actually. And without fail, fire alarm goes off once a week and always in the middle of the night. And you have to wait for the fire trucks to get there to turn off the alarm. And the alarm in our building was like, it was war. Like, boop, boop, boop. And you're like, we get it. And the best part is, no matter how aggressive that alarm was, you know how many people would leave the building? Zero. Like zero.
You're like, just take me. It's fine.
It would be such a tragedy if there was a fire in a building like that. Oh my God. All right. Speaking of just fire, five alarm fires, my Seattle Seahawks. This is going to be very short. I'll talk about it a little bit more with Trey Wingo later because I need to get to the A-list. I need some positivity in my life. All I'm going to say is this.
Today.
It's one thing to go from. It's one thing to have a bad football team. It's incredible to go from being a good and competitive football team to just nothing. And the one thing that you had as a Seahawks fan was you get to watch Russell Wilson every Sunday. And the rest of the team sucked, but you could go, well, everybody sucks but Russ. And now all of a sudden Russ sucks too, to the point where yesterday I actually had the thought of, oh man, maybe they should have taken that Bears deal. Maybe I'd be happier with Fields and some draft picks and whatever. Then going into this offseason with a little bit of uncertainty as to what exactly his value is. And now the entire remainder of the season is just about Russell Wilson rebuilding his value. I think it's done. I think the Seattle thing is over. Last night was the first time where it felt like, oh, it's over. This is now multiple weeks removed from the finger thing. Sure, could it be playing a factor into this? But it's just bad. They brought in a new offensive coordinator, and DK Metcalf didn't even see a target until late in the third quarter, and it was completely forced. He's one of the best athletes in the NFL, and they couldn't draw up a single, crossing pattern or bubble screen or just anything to get the guy involved in the game. They're just lost. They have zero identity. They have zero toughness. They have horrific coaching, and now they have a quarterback who, boy, he's definitely not washed, and You definitely want him if you're a fan of one of those franchises that has just been stuck in mediocrity for a long time or is looking to take that next step. Like if you're the Cleveland Browns, you still offer the moon for him. But boy, that was just depressing last night. Like I got nothing else. Like they've just it's breaking me. It's breaking me.
2 years left at 41 mil, but 77 mil cap hit being carried.
Yeah, I don't think it's a star quarterback though.
No, I know. I'm just refreshing for anyone who is a Browns fan or doesn't.
Yeah,
know.
Browns fans is like the Browns fans are the same place as I am though, where they're broken about Baker and they're like, this guy was first overall and everyone said he wasn't going to be Johnny Football 2.0, and it's like,
oh boy,
he's just more boring Johnny Football.
Oh my. Are you crying?
Well, yeah. That seems like a good time to pass the mic.
Yeah, you know what? Cut his mic off. It's time for the A-list.
Now, it's time for...
Let us A...
A...
The A-list.
A...
Lots of good stuff to start your Tuesday. Let's stick with baseball. We're not sure about Kevin Gausman yet, but we are sure that he was a huge Roy Halladay fan, and we might have touched on this a little bit yesterday, but we got a little bit. We all want to put it in the A-list, okay? So back in 2017, there was a tweet by Kevin Gausman about choosing to be number 34 in honor of Roy Halladay. And it says, being a kid in love with the game of baseball, many of my afternoons and fondest childhood memories are of watching the game with my dad. Naturally, I became a huge fan of fellow Colorado native Roy Halladay. He instantly became my idol. For years, I watched him dominate his competition. To me, Roy gave me the inspiration that I could fulfill even my biggest dreams, being a pitcher just like him. The older I got, the more I began to understand the challenges of being a baseball player in Colorado. There have been less than 100 Major League Baseball players that were born there. I'd like to think we have our own fraternity amongst ourselves. The loss of Roy was tragic and is saddening, but I feel honored to have watched everything he achieved. I plan to wear number 34 next season in honor of Roy Halladay, both on and off the field. Number 34 appears to be open in Toronto if he'd like to continue honoring his idol.
Yes. So the Jays retired Halladay's 32 mm-hmm. that he wore in Toronto, but he wore 34 with Philadelphia.
I really hope that he gets a chance to wear that.
Wide open.
I think that's a really
special
thing.
Sorry, Tyler Chatwood.
Tyler Chatwood.
34 is spoken for.
Chatwood still on team?
No, I don't think so.
Boom.
You're good.
That guy probably got DFA'd to smithereens.
I will say this, though, is like, hey, awesome. Putting more pressure on your shoulders after signing a $110 million deal.
Well, that tweet was from like 2017 or something.
I know it is, but it's one of those things to consider. That it's like, hey, do you really? Yeah, okay. So, awesome.
Let us have something nice.
Yeah. I mean, look, my Roy Halladay tattoo inspires me to...
You actually have a Roy Halladay tattoo?
Well, I have...
What?
That.
What is that?
That's his ERA from his rookie season.
Oh, okay.
It was the worst ERA of all time. And nice. And then he turned himself into a Hall of
Wow.
Fame.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
pretty cool. I was really hoping that I was like...
Like Roy Halladay's face or something?
No, Like
a cheesy, like, heart with, like, RH.
Yeah.
That's cute. That's not on my A-list, but... You know who is? Delano Banton.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I love this man.
Cheer me up.
He came back and hosted his first annual skills camp at the Rexdale Community Hub yesterday. Mm. He played basketball with some kids. He gave away a PS5. And I think this is the start of something really special. Obviously, we know his story about Rexdale and where he came from and the reason he wears the number 45. And I love that he's starting early to make this a way for him to give back to his community. And we saw lots of great photos and stories from yesterday's first ever annual event that he held. It just looks great. It was at the Rexdale Community Center, and he is just a legend, and we're lucky to have him on the Raptors.
Even the Jays were tweeting it out because he wore a Jays. Rolled up in a Jays hat.
So awesome. There's something good about the Raptors. It's him.
Yeah, there's not a lot. There's not a lot right now. I saw yesterday that OG's, I read the quote was, hit a wall in his recovery.
Oh, no.
That was bad. I gotta say, I pay attention to a lot of sports. We do this for a living. Blake, can you remember seeing hit a wall in his recovery? Like that seeing brand new things when it comes to injuries is less than ideal, I would say.
Yeah. The change is it hasn't changed for the better. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Great. No, that's super great. That's so, so great.
In other great news, UConn's Paige Beckers became the first NCAA student athlete to sign a deal with Gatorade. So you know now that the NCAA is allowing players to kind of make money off their names now.
Mm-hmm.
Connecticut women's basketball star signed a multi-year name, image, and likeness endorsement deal with Gatorade. And she's the first ever student athlete to sign with the company. And this comes less than 3 weeks after she announced her first major deal with StockX. She's the 2021 Naismith Trophy and Wooden Award winner and is a brand ambassador for footwear and apparel marketplace companies. Yeah, I think she could be the maybe first overall pick for Toronto's expansion team one day.
Oh, there's no way they'll let an expansion team pick first.
Well,
that's the same thing the Raptors ran into.
Don't worry about it. We'll find a way.
She also trademarked her nickname, Paige Buckets.
I love that.
So this is I very much like, obviously this is part of the NIL stuff in the NCAA, but I love the like, hey, from day one, I'm going to own my own brand and I'm going to, you know, approach this strategically. And obviously she has a team around her. I'm sure it's not just her, but yeah, the NCAA and later WNBA and these footwear companies and stuff, I'm getting a taste.
She's a superstar.
I just love that college athletics now that this is happening finally, because it was the dumbest rule ever that you couldn't make any money.
Yeah,
off
I could have made
likeness.
Bank.
Yeah, yeah, you would have been. You wouldn't even be here. You'd be set up somewhere.
I'd be
in
so
the,
rich
in the hills. Just because, you know why I actually love it? One is it's fair, obviously.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
But ultimately, I'm like, yeah, who cares? okay, is the money coming to me? No? Then whatever. So, sure, fairness, fine. But you know why I care? Because it's for me. This helps college sports stay relevant. That's the main thing here. I was so tired of watching this where it's like one and dones. And now you actually have a scenario where someone can be so big in college and be making so much money in college and just raking it in that they want to stay there. I don't want to see, look at this. No offense, Blake. Don't take offense to this. But I said it a million times that I would never draft a player that came out of the G League because it's just such a oof. Like, I don't want to have the guy who went and played in the G League instead of college athletics. Like someone who doesn't see the value of going to college, going in and doing that experience. Sometimes it's like, okay, well, the financials of the situation, well, now that's out of it. And you look at this year to start so far, it's like, I don't know where you would take Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga. They wouldn't go where they went. And I just, ugh. Like, yes, good. Save college. No more of this G League crap thing that they try to, the Ignite team. Like, God, never let that happen again. Please, for the love of God, let that only be reserved for like second round picks, guys who are on the fringes. Never, ever, ever, ever do I ever want to see another year where I have to watch G League highlights to see a guy that's going to go in the top five of the draft. Thank you. Finally, NCAA figuring out the one thing easily, letting players make money off their own names.
I don't think Blake would agree with some of that.
He's like, I loved the Ignite. I loved watching Jarrett Jack play with the...
As someone that is a huge 905 fan myself, yeah. Bing Bonga.
I like the 905 and the G League are fine, but they're supposed to be like, hey, you're a fringe thing. Like, I don't want to see a top five prospect play in the G League. I want to see them play for Duke in a meaningful game in March Madness. And so, and you know who else does? Everyone other than Blake. It's like literally everyone.
Okay, last thing on the A-list.
Sorry, just... To be clear, I'm a huge college basketball fan also. I like...
That was so good when
I like
gonna move
these
on.
Kids yeah. having an opportunity to make six figures.
Yeah. Sure, and now, but now
get
they
that
can.
That bag, King.
And now they can actually go to school.
Yeah.
So what
well,
do you... So
the school part is...
So money over school, huh? Okay. No, that's where you stand.
Oh.
That's where you stand.
Yeah, I mean, if you're only going for a semester just to keep your
you
playing
know what,
eligibility.
College, university, obviously anybody that's gone there... It's like, what are you doing with your bachelor's degree? Probably not what you went to get your bachelor's degree for. So I don't actually view it as that different from a student athlete in that regard where you're going, hey, like, what did JD get a... It is way more. It's about being around being people your own age. It's not about professionalizing your thing. It's about falling in love with the sport, falling in love with your teammates, falling in love with the game. Hey, listen, like, you actually did it. You went. You've done this. I just... I really did think that we were down this really ugly path with the NCAA where the organization was so awful, but the experience is so amazing that we on the outside started to be like, and go get the bag, King. And it's like, no, be in university, be a kid for a year longer. Like, don't professionalize this thing at 18 years old when you're just starting to fall in love with basketball. Like, don't do that. You think Jonathan Kuminga is real tight with G League teammates, like him and Jarrett Jack going hanging out, going around town? Like, no, what are you talking about? Like, go play with college kids. Anything else?
Yes. This one, listen up if you've got a little kid. This is for you. On Sunday, December 12th, Toronto will be hosting a kids' vaccine day that will be superhero-themed event at Scotiabank Arena. So it's like a really fun day to get your kids vaccinated in partnership with MLSE and Scotiabank. There's going to be giveaways. It's led by Sick Kids. They're going to have Sick Kids... how do I explain this? Sick Kids Ambassador. Nurses dressed up as superheroes to get your kids vaccinated, and it'll be in the home of the Leafs and the Raptors. And so yeah, you can learn more about this on the City of Toronto website, but I thought it'd be a really cute thing to mention that with vaccines coming for kids, if your kids are sports fans, they can go get it at the Scotiabank Arena and have a full experience, and they've made it into like a whole superhero day. So that's December 12th. Which is a Sunday.
Cool.
Cool. And I think Toronto Raptor and Carlton the Bear might be there. So very fun if you have... Yeah, probably. I don't want to guarantee, but I think
they're like TBD. We'll see. We'll see what our schedules look like that day.
We'll find out one of the mascots is anti-vax.
Might. Get down there.
Yeah, I think it's for kids 5 to 11 years old. So very fun. Hope to see lots of you guys messaging in selfies with Carlton and your kids.
Can we get selfies on the text line?
No, but they can tweet it at us.
Oh, I guess that's fair.
All right. That was it for the A-List. Look at that. Right on time. Wow. That doesn't happen much. After this, we're going to be joined by our boy, John Morosi, MLB Network and Fox Sports. We're going to talk baseball.
Are we? He's
also maybe USA World Junior roster.
He's going to want to talk Michigan hockey.
No, I don't want to.
No, I know.
No.
He's going to want to do it though.
No. That's next.
Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.